This conference is being recorded.
This is Luke Allison with CriticalBench.com, and I'm here with Jim Smith. Jim, how are you?
Good. What's up, Luke?
Not much, man. First, just for anyone that might not know, what is the Diesel Crew?
Diesel Crew. Well, it's a collection of two strength coaches that got together in 2001, Jed Johnson and myself, and it was a teaming of two guys just trying to get into the fitness industry, and we started, like I said, back in 2001, and we both went through the NSCA cert, and that's the National Strength Conditioning Association certification for strength coaches. After we went through that, we actually started training athletes and looking into various other training modalities, and just kind of went from there. You know, we just tried to form a team where, you know, we wanted to do something different. You know, everything out there was, at that time, was, you know, there was a lot of Olympic lifting and you know, at that point, not much strongman and kettlebell and grip stuff. So we kind of wanted to incorporate our own spin in the fitness industry, and that's sort of where we're at and how it was born.
Now, you mentioned working with athletes. What is your sort of interest or motivation to work with athletes?
Well, I love actually working with athletes because they're highly motivated. You know, I don't really have the bandwidth right now to work with, you know, just regular people. And I find that it's really tough to do that. You know, you have to be, you know, I wouldn't consider myself really a personal trainer, more so a strength coach, because I like the strength and aspect of it, even though there's definitely some transformation pieces in there for a strength coach as well. But athletes are highly motivated and really get a lot of bang for our buck. You know, we really like to watch the guys transform and get more explosive and stronger and different things like that. When you first get an athlete, it's really like a puzzle. You know, that's how I kind of describe it. You know, you have to kind of assess them with their current levels of strength. You know, what are their injuries? You know, what you know, not only their individual needs, but the needs of their respective sports. You know, you have multi-sport athletes, you have single-sport athletes, and you really have to figure out, one, you know, how to fix what's wrong with them, and two, how to get them prepared for their sport. So it's sort of like a puzzle, and you have to structure and periodize their training to accommodate that.
Talk a little bit about some of the people and ideas that have influenced your style of strength and conditioning.
Well, there are many, and I try to give them as many shout-outs as I can, you know, with every article and with every product and different things. But, you know, starting back in 2001, we were sort of on our own. You know, we didn't really – the Internet was, as far as fitness, was pretty remedial. You know, there wasn't YouTube. There wasn't, you know, the proliferation of blogs on the Internet. And that was what was kind of cool about the old Diesel site. I created it from scratch, and it was all HTML-based. And I kind of consider it one of the earliest fitness blogs on the net because we didn't really have a static homepage. What we would do is just kind of every time we would shoot a new video or a new article, we would update the homepage, and it would always have new content. So it was sort of like, you know, a manual, manually updated blog. But what we did at that point was, you know, just try to put out a lot of different videos and stuff. And some of those were contained ideas, you know, we found from some of the people that we did, you know, Google, and we met at strength conferences. We traveled all around. So most of the stuff we got was from, you know, Boyle. You know, Boyle had some of the earlier references, Donald Chu for plyometrics, Zatiorski. You know, those are some of my big influences. But as the Internet grew, we sort of got more and more familiar with, you know, some of the other guys out there. Cosgrove, you know, I know you know Alan Cosgrove. He he really influenced me and gave me a lot of knowledge around the need for balance in the program. He has, I believe it's called the Program or Periodization Bible, but it's a huge reference where the underlying principle was, you know, you have to create a balance in your training routine, you know, like a push for a pull, you know, an extension for a flexion. And he really opened my eyes to that aspect and how, you know, everything has to be balanced. Cressy and Robertson, those two guys, you know, just really, you know, kind of blow a lot of people away. You know, they're just so young and so talented and so smart, you know, as far as the anatomy piece and the physiology piece and the rehab piece. And they really influenced my training style and gave me a wake-up call that I need to learn more about the anatomy piece. You know, when you go and you get the NSCA cert, you know, it doesn't really mean anything. You know, it doesn't say anything about your under the bar experience. You know, how long you've trained. You know, can you not only train yourself but train others? You know, and you don't get that from a certification. You don't get that from a book. So, I realized after I did get that certification, it's nice to have the letters behind your name. It gives you some, you know, some weight when you go for interviews and different things, or when you write an article. But you know, it doesn't talk to you specifically about, you know, how you are as a strength coach. And I think, you know, your actions and, you know, your athletes, you know, are you making them bigger, stronger, faster? Are they not getting injured? Are you fixing, correcting imbalances and stuff? That really talks to how you are as a strength coach. And Mike Robertson and Eric Cressy really opened my eyes to that aspect. Another guy that really influenced me, I'm on the Elite Fitness Q&A staff, Jim Wendler. I love Jim, and everything he talks about is just keeping it simple and just going back to basics, you know. And he's made huge, I mean, he has a 5-3-1 program just, you know, based around basic training, you know, a lot of body weight movements like pull-ups and push-ups and chin-ups and dips and military press, and it's just such a basic program, but people are getting crazy transformations with it, and they're getting really strong. And it just talks to, you know, you don't have to analyze and overanalyze things so much where, you know, you just can't move forward. You can't create a program. You just stick with the basics, and you're going to make progress. And I remember a strength coach probably back in 2002 or 2003, she said something about to the effect of, you know, as long as the effort is there, adaptation will occur. And that really stuck with me because it said, you know, well, it said a few things, but it really said, you know, you just got to really go wholeheartedly into a program and really give it your all, and you will improve, you know, up into a certain extent. You know, once you adapt to the program, you know, you have to change it up, some of the variables, or, you know, move on to another program. But keeping it simple is really important, especially for strength coaches and athletes and even people just going to the gym every day. You know, you don't have to have all these percentages and all this stuff. You just work hard and you will make changes. I know a lot of people talk about us in the grip realm. We actually, for the last 3 years, have put on the U.S. Grip Championship. You know, and that all started with a guy named Rick Walker. This guy was on the internet way back in the day, probably back in 2001, 2002, over on Dr. Squat. Have you ever been over on Dr. Squat's forum?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of the earliest forums out there. And Rick Walker was like this guy who was bending nails and you know, closing these heavy, like, Captains of Crush grippers and picking up anvils and lever and sledgehammers. And he was a mean-looking dude, too. He was had all these tattoos and stuff. And I was actually a moderator on Dr. Squat back in the day. And, you know, I just saw these posts from him, and we just started talking. And he actually opened up our eyes around, like, the old-time strongman, all these guys, like, bending, like, the Mighty Adam and Otto Arco and, you know, all these, you know, Hack and Smith, all these old-time strongmen doing these feats of strength, and he used to be really into that. And, you know, that's kind of how we got into grip. And probably 2 years later, we actually spoke at the Pennsylvania State Clinic for the NSCA on grip strength. So he was a huge influence on the diesel crew back in the day. And like I said, all these pieces fit into the bigger puzzle for diesel crew because our training style was, I thought, pretty unique. But I mean, everybody's doing it now, but, you know, it involved a progressive addition of different training protocols as we learn them. I mean, we started out basically doing like a high-volume bodybuilding routine. And we moved into like the classic Olympic lifts. We moved into grip. We moved into strongman. We moved into kettlebells. And like as we evolved, you know, so did the diesel method where, you know, our training style incorporated all those different types of training. And the guy who brought strongman into our, you know, into our rear view mirror, if you will, was C.J. Murphy. He's a guy, he's a strength coach, and actually he writes for Men's Fitness as well, as I do. And I think he's been in Men's Health too, but he's you know, pretty renowned guy up in Massachusetts where he's been using strongman training protocols for his athletes for years. So it's just sort of like, you know, over the years, you know, just meeting these different people at seminars and lectures and writing articles and just going around the internet and just finding these people. And, you know, they really, you know, did play a huge role in shaping my ideas of, you know, training programs and training athletes.
The Diesel Crew has a reputation for innovation. Where does that mentality come from to do things that really no one has done before?
Well, like I said, what happened back in the day was the internet, as far as the fitness industry went, was pretty scarce. You know, I'm talking like 2001. I remember, you know, looking for like fitness related videos, and again, YouTube wasn't around. And when we started filming videos, it was pretty unique, and it kind of opened my eyes around, you know, people really wanted that type of media. You know, we used to make videos, like I remember our very first video, it stuck with me all these years. Jed was doing, you know, like I said, we were influenced by like the old-time strongman, and they used to do this movement called a prisoner squat. And it's basically a Zercher lift off the floor. It's like you get under it and you Zercher a barbell off the floor up into a standing position. I guess the origin was, you know, like in prisons, they don't have squat racks, so they would have to squat this way. But, you know, we did see a lot of pictures of, like, old-time strongmen doing this, like, as far as strength acts, you know, in circuses and traveling around and different things like that. But Jed actually did a video of him doing a prisoner squat with number one Captains of Crush grippers in his hands. So he was not only, you know, doing the squat, but he was actually crushing grippers at the same time. So it was sort of, like I said, we started thinking about how we could combine, you know, the different training protocols and to get more bang for the buck. So if you take, like, a normal lift and you modify it, you increase the adaptation for that lift, and you also increase the work capacity that the athlete has to, you know, accommodate to. That innovation, you know, we started putting these videos on our site, and like I said, it just opened my eyes up because our traffic on the site was huge. I remember our website host, you know, we used to get this bill every month. It was like $4, $4.95 to host the diesel site. And we got a bill one month, it was like $89. And I was like, what is going on? And I called him up, I'm like, you've made a mistake, this is crazy, why are you charging me so much? And they actually came back to me and said, you've exceeded your bandwidth, you know, 20 times over. So I went into the control panel. I was like, what is going on? What do you mean bandwidth? I had no idea what this stuff was at the time. And basically, people were going to our site. Again, since there was no YouTube, we hosted and embedded the videos on our site, and people would just sit there and watch them. And unfortunately, they were high-quality videos, and people would just sit there and stream them off our site and just watch them 5, 10 times through, you know. And it was crazy. We kept getting these huge bills, and at the time we didn't have any products, so it was all like this out of pocket expense. But you know, at that point, you know, I was so consumed with, you know, people coming to the site that, you know, we were putting videos up all the time. I didn't even care. I just wanted people to come there, see all of our cool training and different things. So, you know, it kind of led to us, you know, trying to look above and beyond and trying to take these classic exercises and see how we can modify them.
I think I do remember watching them streaming like that, so I apologize.
No, that's all right. That's all right. I'm glad. Thank you for coming, man. It's like I said, it was just crazy, like how things just escalated. Now it's like there's so many fitness blogs, and YouTube is so helpful. And I mean, there's so many opportunities out there for guys to get their training philosophies out there. So it's great.
Do you have a favorite exercise or lift that you helped create or, you know, reconfigure?
Well, actually, I have a chaos training manual, and it was I would say it's basically my thesis on what the diesel method is and you know, just non-conventional training and how it blends with conventional training protocols. And I have tons of different exercises in that manual. The thing is like 700 pages with and it has an expansion pack which makes it, you know, 750 or maybe even 800 pages, but it has tons of exercises in there, and I love all those just because they're just so innovative. We can have a whole, you know, teleconference about that, but one of the other ones that is pretty much mainstream now is a kettlebell powerbomb. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it was kind of spawned out of, you know, us training one day in, I have a garage gym, and we also train clients and train ourselves out of a commercial gym, but we actually did a strongman, or it might have been a grip competition, but one of our sponsors gave us a 95-pound kettlebell, and we had one 95-pound kettlebell. I remember Jed bringing that to the garage, and that was, you know, our first real introduction with, you know, working with kettlebells. And I remember, you know, both of us snatching it the first day we got it, and we had never worked with kettlebells before. And Jed had, you know, started practicing how to flip it and different things. But one day we were screwing around in the gym, and we were doing kettlebell swings. I mean, this is one of the six or seven basic kettlebell exercises that, you know, one must get real proficient with, you know, because it links into, you know, snatches and cleans and different other advanced kettlebell exercises. But the kettlebell swing is one of the basic ones that you need to master. I can't remember if it was me. I'm sure that, you know, I would say I invented it, and Jed would say he invented it, but I can't remember who did at this point. But what we did was we said, well, how can we modify this to get more benefit out of it? I mean, we're getting really good hip extension on it. You know, we're really getting some good deceleration out of it. You know, if you ever notice, like, a kettlebell swing, during the eccentric portion, you actually load into exactly how you would land from a jump. You know, I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but that position, hips back, you know, head up, it's a really good athletic position. But what we did was we said, well, at the peak of the movement where the kettlebell is sort of eye line or chin level, we're going to have a partner just throw it down as hard as they can, okay? And by doing that, we're going to emphasize that deceleration. We're going to emphasize that absorption. We're going to accelerate the eccentric and almost make it, now it's not a high intensity, but almost make it like a reactive expression, you know, a reactive exercise. So what we did was, you know, we started, you know, we got into the swing, you know, after the third swing, we said, okay, hit it. And the partner would just whip it down as hard as they could. And I'll tell you what, the kettlebell, the first time we did it, the kettlebell just shot right back out, you know, and we just, you know, it just really lit up. We said, man, we got something here, because what happens is, you know, when you load that elastic energy, if you do it more rapid, the storage and then subsequent expression of that stored energy through the hips and that hip extension was explosive. And you know, we obviously did a film video of it. And from that one exercise, what we did, we actually created two kettlebell training ebooks with, you know, a ton of other like crazy like kettlebell exercises no one had ever seen. But once we sold the first one, I mean, within like a week, there was like videos all over the web of, you know, people doing kettlebell power bombs and you know, just spreading the word. And I think they actually use it today at the RKC, the Dragon Door RKC certification. So it's you know, just gone into mainstream and just become part of, you know, one of the standard kettlebell exercises. So I think we're pretty proud of that one.
I'm trying to picture this. I'm searching. It sounds a lot like maybe a reverse band bench press, something where you're, like you said, you're overloading the eccentric and trying to just recruit.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Did you have that in mind, or did it just happen to work out like that?
Yeah, it was just organic, man. It just happened. I think our goal was we actually – you know, we're doing pretty well with the 95 for the swings. And we're like, man, we got to make this harder. And then, you know, one of us came up with the idea just to accelerate it, you know, with a partner-assisted push. And then everything just kind of grew from there. You know, it was just amazing. But what happens is, to picture it a little easier, the guy's doing the swings. The partner is actually right out in front of him. And when the kettlebell gets eye level, the partner's hand comes right on top of it and pushes it straight back down through the pattern really hard as they can, because we want that absorption. We want the person with the kettlebell just to really take that speed and decelerate it and then re-express it back. So it's pretty simple. I don't know if we have any videos out there now. I think we just have it cut up into our manuals, but you know, if that's something your readers want to see, we could definitely film it.
Yeah, I could definitely see some interest in that. We're in about mid-June right now, 2009. How is your training going sort of this year so far, and then overall?
It's been going really well, actually. This year we've actually been focused more around powerlifting, and we've been doing strongman training probably usually once a week or once every couple weeks. We're on a we're on a 3-day West Side split. I have a group of guys that we train with, and three of them are actually doing a powerlifting meet in October. So we've been kind of cycling up to that and doing strongman training, like, you know, like I said, one day or once a week or once every couple weeks. Me personally, I've actually been trying to rehab a knee injury from high school for the last several years. It's been kind of hampering my squat and stuff. So I've been actually doing a lot of bleacher runs, you know, trying to improve that leg drive. And unfortunately, you know, over the years, there's been compensations. And again, Cressy and Mike Robertson helped me realize that, you know, you can't just let these compensations sit there. You know, my quad had atrophied to the point where it just wasn't firing. So what I did was just start making sure the soft tissue was correct, you know, just doing a lot of foam rolling stuff. I've been doing a lot of unilateral step-ups and lunges and single-leg squats and different things, just getting that quad to fire again, because the quad is so important for tracking of the knee and stability of the knee. And, you know, just been, again, just working with running bleachers and, you know, different things like that. So my training's going really well. My knee feels great. I'm squatting again, squatting, you know, doing full squats and doing powerlifting squats. And you know, there's really nothing I can not do. So, but yeah, we're just focused on powerlifting right now and strongman. I have my time is pretty limited, so my clients are pretty low. I have the opportunity to pick and choose who I train, so I'm just training usually 2 to 3 kids right now. I just focus on high school wrestlers and baseball players and football players, but I also have a lot of online clients and consult with a few professional MMA guys, but that's about it, you know, and I do a lot of writing, so I'm just trying to work on getting more articles and different things written.
Sure, sure. What is accelerated muscle development?
That's my new product I just came out with. It's been out for, since May 25th. It was Memorial Day it came out. What I do with all my products is I want to take the very complicated science stuff that everybody kind of gets bogged down with, and I like to kind of show it in, like, visual diagrams and explain it in simple terms, because I think that people really like that. Most people learn visually, so if I can give them a complex term or a complex idea and explain it with a diagram, I mean, the retention is so much more. So what I did was I took the concept of, you know, what it means to build muscle. And accelerated muscular development is my first kind of entrance into mainstream manuals. All my stuff prior to this has been centered around building athletes. And not to say that, you know, those manuals aren't applicable to other people. They definitely are. But accelerated muscular development, I wanted to get it out there for the average gym goer, you know, the dad or the mom or, you know, the kids trying to build a foundation in high school and different things like that, and show them what a good program is, okay? Because right now, if you go to any internet forum, you go to an article, and even a lot of the muscle-building ebooks out there, they basically just give you, like, a whole bunch of workouts, you know, like 12 weeks of workouts or, you know, and it's just like the primary workout. You go in there and you hit, you know, 3 sets of 8 on the bench, and you go and do, you know, 3 sets of 8 on the pull-ups, and it's just the primary workout. But as you know, and as I know, over the years I've really studied this stuff. You know, like I said, Eric Cressy, Mike Robertson, Bill Hartman, all these, you know, amazing strength coaches, and DeFranco. I mean, all these guys, they don't have their athletes, and they don't have the people they train just coming in the gym and do the primary workout. Because, you know, let's say you go into the workout and you have, like, 4 sets on the bench. Your shoulders feel like crap. Your chest feels like crap until, like, the 3rd set, right? Because you're not really warmed up until that 3rd set. So what I did was I said, this is going to be a mainstream product. I want everybody to use it, and I want to show them what it means to be a good program. As soon as you walk in the gym, hit your foam roller stuff. You got to start working on your soft tissue. Everybody does. Improves the quality, improves extensibility, allows it to contract harder, allows, you know, it works out the compensations, all the scar tissue and trigger points, all that stuff. So we work on our soft tissue. Then we mobilize, you know, any joints that are tight. You know, you're sitting all day, you got bad pelvic alignment. We start activating stuff. We go through a dynamic warm-up. Then, once all that stuff is done, and I'm not talking about a ton of time, I'm talking, you know, a quick sequence of exercises that takes, you know, 10 to 15 minutes, okay? And then you go into the primary workout. And actually, what I did was I structured AMD to be done in 30 or 40 minutes, real quick, 3 days a week, okay? I wanted to give them a complete program that they could do in a short amount of time, and then get out of the gym. You know, you don't walk around and, you know, do a set and, you know, just kind of hang out. You go in there, you bust your butt, and you get out. Now, after you do that primary workout, what do you got to do? Well, you have weaknesses. You have stuff that you need to rehab. You can work on more soft tissue stuff. You can do some static stretching. All that's laid out in the program. And the cool thing about it is I provide the structure. Okay, here's what a good program needs. If you're already on a program, you can insert it right into AMD and just do the pieces that you're not currently doing. It's perfect. You can either use the program as AMD has it, or you can use your own program and insert it right into the protocol. So that's sort of the high-level overview of AMD. And like I said, it's just I term it like a complete muscle-building system. Now, it could be a complete strength system or, you know, whatever you want to deem it, but It has all the essential pieces in there, stuff that people don't have or they don't put into their strength program or muscle building program, but it has to be in there.
How important do you think it is to get people information on things like, I guess you're describing corrective exercising, prehab, rehab, all those sorts of things? Because the people that aren't doing those things are obviously the ones that are most likely to benefit.
Yeah, well, it's essential. I mean, these exercises have to be done because you got to think about it this way. There's like a, what they say is like the 23-1 rule, right? So you have 1 hour in the gym to correct, to overcome all the bad stuff you do the other 23 hours of the day, the 23-1 rule. So in that 1 hour, you better be doing a bunch of stuff. You know, you better optimize your time and get these things corrected because you're not going to be in there, you know, only an hour. You know, and if you have it laid out for you, here's a structure, do step one, do step two, do step, it's right there. It's very, very easy to implement because most people just go in the gym and they're just kind of milling around. They don't know what to do. They might hit a machine. They might do some, you know, national bench days every Monday. You know, they do the same stuff over and over, okay, and they don't understand why their back hurts or, you know, their shoulders killing them because their elbows are flaring out on the bench. I mean, these pieces are essential, not only to get overcome those weaknesses, overcome, you know, the 20 bad 23 hours a day, but for longevity. You know, do you want to be lifting to your you know, old age and just be strong and healthy and not using a walker and all that stuff? So those pieces to a good program are essential.
Just in case people are interested, if they want to follow up, what type of format is this? An ebook? Are there audio-visual components associated? What's all involved?
Well, the basic AMD package is actually they're all ebooks. And what I did was I have the main AMD manual, and there's two other manuals that go with it. The one is a core strength manual that's actually a modification of Combat Core. Combat Core is a torso strengthening ebook that I came out with last year that has been very, very well received, and it's been peer-reviewed by all the top guys in the fitness industry. I mean, it's a very good, all-encompassing manual that teaches you really what is involved in strengthening the torso. Now, why would I include that in AMD? Because in AMD, there is a certain section for core strength exercises. So in a good program, you should have something to strengthen your core, and that's in the template. So it's very easy to see. It's a plug-and-play template for AMD. Here's your soft tissue. Here's your core stuff. Now, the third manual in the main AMD package is Accelerated Corrective Strategies. That's the manual that lays out those important pieces like mobilizing, mobility, that the activation, and the soft tissue stuff. So those three things are in ACS. Now, you put all those together, and then you have the AMD program. Now, those three are ebooks, and I have two AMD workouts that I filmed that you can watch right along with me and a buddy of mine. We actually go through an AMD upper body workout and an AMD lower body workout and show you step by step from the time we walk in the gym to the time we leave, and you can follow right along in the manual with the video, and it just shows you exactly what to do. And I think, the last piece of, like, the main packages, what I did was, in the manual, I have sequential pictures. Here's how to do each one of the exercises. Here's how to do it correctly. Okay, here's how you track your elbows. Here's how you catch your breath when you're doing squats. All that stuff. That's all in the manual. But a lot of people, like I said, learn visually. So what I wanted to do was create a YouTube channel dedicated to AMD. So what you can do is go out there and watch the exercise, all the basic stuff like how to do squats, how to do deadlifts, how to do pull-ups, how to do, you know, posterior flies, all those things, the very basic exercise, how to do them correctly. Okay, so I'm in the process of just filling up that YouTube channel with tons and tons of exercises. If you want to go out there, it's YouTube.com/muscleVIP. And if you go out there, go ahead and subscribe. And, you know, every time I upload a new video, you can look around and watch the video. If you want to get AMD and see that, there's a link off the site to do that. So that's in the main package. Now I have, like, a premium package that has, like, a ton of other stuff, like med ball training, sledgehammer training, kettlebell training, and that's in the premium version if you really want, like, a huge arsenal. If you go to the premium version, I mean, it just has so much information that you could, you know, just have a ball. You know, anything you want to do. You want to do a kettlebell day, a sledgehammer day, you know, all that stuff. It's all out there.
I think that definitely gives people, you know, almost more than they can handle. But if they're up for it, who knows? That could be a good time. One of the other things I think of whenever I hear Diesel Crew is grip training. I think of grip training absolutely synonymous. Talk about why grip training as a type of modality that you're interested in.
Oh man, we could talk for hours and hours on grip training. Like I said, we actually created to recognize in the grip world, there is a grip community out there, and there's tons of really strong grip athletes in the U.S. as well as over in Europe. I mean, there's pioneers of the sport all over, but grip training is essential. And like I said, it all started with that random encounter on Dr. Squat forum with Rick Walker. This guy just kind of opened up our eyes, and from there just got the ball rolling. But grip training is the forgotten element of functional training. I mean, we could debate what functional training is, and that's kind of how we deemed it back in the day when we gave our presentation to the NSCA on grip training. We said, you know, everybody, you know, trains squats, everybody trains deadlifts, but the athletes never train their hands. And if you think about it, as we know, the body's a kinetic chain, and at what is the end point of the kinetic chain? It's the hands. And if I hate to use this, you know, old adage, but, you know, you're only as strong as your weakest link. And if your weakest link is your hands, I mean, you're never going to be able to express the power created from your body through your hands if your hands are weak. Okay, so you have to strengthen your hands as a component of your total strength training program. Now, what you start to find when you start training your grip is that you're going to be overall stronger. You're going to be able to hold a heavier deadlift. You're going to be able to hold onto the bat and swing it harder because you're gripping it tighter. Now, even Stuart McGill, you know, world-renowned back specialist in back pain, he talks about squeezing your lats on the squat can actually increase your squat by, you know, 30, 40 pounds. Now, we can't squeeze our lats without squeezing our hands. Think about it. There's two ways to describe it. Some people call it radiant tension. Some people call it co-contraction. What it basically means is if I create a fist, okay, just close my hands real light and just close my hands, my hand gets a little tight, okay? I'm closing my hand flexors, my finger flexors. But now if I take that same thought and I squeeze my hand as hard as I can, what happens? You know, my hand doesn't only get tight. My forearm gets tight. My bicep gets tight. My shoulder gets tight. My upper back gets tight. There's a radiant tension, okay, radiant tension effect because, like I said, it's a kinetic chain. If I tighten one segment hard enough, it carries over to the structural stability of the other segments above and below that segment, okay? So whenever you squat, I need to create tension. Whenever you bench, I need to create tension. Whenever I throw a football, I need to create tension. Okay, the duration of that tension is dependent on the activity, but it's tension nevertheless. If I'm doing a bench press, you know, the bench, most people don't know, but it's a full body lift, okay? I need to create tension in my legs and my glutes and my back to be able to bench a heavy weight, okay? That's, you know, radiant. That's the prime example of radiant tension. If I can do that, I'm going to have a huge bench. Not only that, I'm going to be stable, and the integrity of these joints are not going to be compromised. So grip training is just an expression expression of radiant tension. If I train my grip, I'm going to be stronger overall. I'll be able to hold heavier stuff. I'll be able to be more, I'll be able to be better at any sport-specific activity I do, because power is generated from the ground, up through the rotation of your hips, across each kinetic segment, through across a rigid and tense, isometrically contracted torso, and expressed out through the hands. Okay, and if there's any, what do I want to say? If the integrity of any one of those segments is compromised, we're going to lose power. That power will be dissipated. I mean, I'm sure you've heard that many times, but the expression on that power has to be through the hands, and that's why we train the grip, and that's why, you know, back in the day and still today, you know, we promote the training of someone's hands, athletes' hands, and even people in general. If you think about it at the most basic level, you know, the secretary, you know, they're sitting at their keyboard all day. She needs grip training just as much as an athlete, but maybe a different type of grip training. Okay? So there's, did you want to go into the facets of grip training?
You know what? I think we're about out of time, but that might be the perfect excuse to bring you back and do.
Okay, great.
45 minutes on that. How does that sound?
Yeah, that's, yeah, we can go into grip, no doubt. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, if people are interested, if they want to follow up, tell them where to go, tell them how to get in contact with you.
Sure. You can send me an email at smitty.diesel@gmail.com. You can go to dieselcrew.com. That's our main site, and it has, you know, tons of articles, tons of videos. I mean, our YouTube channel has huge amounts of information out there. It's youtube.com/smittydiesel. No dot or no spaces, Smitty Diesel. And also my new program, it's Accelerated Muscular Development. You can just go to dieselcrew.com, and there's a link to the right hand side navigation bar, and you can go right there. I appreciate the interview. I appreciate you calling me, Lou.
Thank you for the time and the willingness to share such great information.
No problem.
All right, take care.
Thank you.